Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for another opportunity, O God, to share your word together. Thank you for your awesome, awesome, awesome presence in this place already. Lord, as we behold your word this morning, let the heavens open, God. Let there be a release, an impartation into our heart, O God. Lord, let there be an opening of our eyes of understanding. Lord, let the resources of heaven be deposited into our heart, opening minds up, even as we teach your word this morning. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint the heart and the ears of your people so that they will hear the word and they will receive this engrafted word as the word from your presence, O God. I ask, O Lord, for an anointing upon myself and Buki as we teach this word this morning. Let the word flow out of lock like streams of living water. Think through our mind, speak through our lips and mouths, O God, and let this word be of tremendous blessing, both to the speaker and to the hearer of the word today. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Making the most of opportunities. Making the most of opportunities. I'm going to ask us to read from Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 15 to 16, and this is the NIV translation. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I will read that again, please, because it's very important. It's very, very important that we keep this word in our heart. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And secondly, we're going to read a quote from a man, Benjamin Disraeli. This man was a British politician, and he was also a writer. Sometimes some men speak some words, and you will actually feel when you're reading such words, if you're not careful, that they're actually lifted from the Bible, but not necessarily. But at least it buttresses what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Said the secret of success in life is for a man to be ready for his opportunity when it comes. The secret of success in life is for a man to be ready for his opportunity when it comes. In the book of Psalm, chapter 75, verse 6, the Bible says, promotion does not come from the east, from the west, or from the south. It comes from above, from the north. It comes from God. The Bible says he lifts up one and puts down the other. One of the things that I've discovered in life is that God is interested in blessing his people. And when his people, the Bible says that he has not asked the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain. When people ask God for liftings, when people ask God for promotion, when people ask God for elevation, when people ask God to ascend beyond their limitation, as we have been teaching over the past 4 weeks, God always responds with a particular currency. And the currency of heaven is opportunities. In other words, when people ask God for money, for financial blessing, God doesn't send dollars. He doesn't send pounds sterling. He doesn't send yen. And by the way, he doesn't send whatever currency you want to talk about. What God sends are opportunities to you. He sent opportunities, and as people take advantage of the opportunities that are sent to them, they move up, they ascend, they go up. You know, they are able to get to the next level. And that is why it's very crucial for us to understand the pivotal role that opportunities play in our life, especially when it comes to moving from one level to another. So whenever we are asking God for things that has to do with a change of status, it may be even at the family level, what God sends across to us are opportunities to accomplish those things. Unfortunately, when those opportunities come, many of us don't realize them. We don't recognize them, and we don't even take advantage of them. Now, the race of life is not to the swift. It's not the swiftest that wins the race of life. The battles of life is not to the strongest. There are things that make achievers achieve that are different from the things you are thinking about. Now, some of us think if we probably have a prosperous family background, we'll be better than where we are. Or maybe if we have better connection with people, or maybe if we are more talented than we had, then we'll be better placed in life. As much as those things are important, they are not necessarily the things that make achievers achieve greatness in life. Achievers achieve greatness in life because they are able to recognize and make use of their opportunities when they are presented to them. A billionaire once said that a man that will make fortune in life should be able to smell opportunities when it is 1,000 kilometers away. I don't know how opportunities smell, but what he's talking to drive at is you must be at alert. You have mental alertness to be able to recognize those opportunities even before they come around you. And as believers, we need to understand that the way the God of heaven has programmed our world is around our opportunities. It's not like God is going to send money to people. It's not like God is going to do things the way we expect him to do it. The way God always packages things that will lift us to the next level are in the form of opportunities that are presented to us. Now, let me give you an instance. Now, we probably have heard of the man called Pelé. His actual name is Edson Arantes do Nascimento. If you are a soccer player or if somebody that comes from a soccer-loving country, you will know. I know many of us in Australia probably don't know him because we follow footy and all those. Yeah, but around the world, this man is well known. Now, record has it that he has granted more interviews to more media around the world than any man that has ever lived. He has been the most photographed person in this whole world. I love that. Praise God. Now, this man is so well known. In fact, he has met many more people many more presidents than any other person. He has met well over 70 presidents in his footballing career, over 40 heads of state, 2 popes, as at the time his record was put together, reading from his book, My Life and the Beautiful Game. Now, this man, according to record, just because they wanted to see him play, there was a war in Nigeria. They call it the Biafra War. And the two sides had to agree to a 2-day truce because they wanted to see him play soccer. They had to agree, okay, no, we're not going to kill ourselves for the next 2 days so that we can go and watch this man play. He was that prosperous. His record goal of 1,300 is still being pursued by people, even till we speak now. People are still trying to chase that record of him. He was obviously very successful when it comes to the game of soccer. In fact, he is called the most successful in the sense of the most successful person in the game of soccer, and perhaps even in the sports history of the world because of his. This history of him. he was going to play in a particular country, and of course, the whole place was jam packed, and people came to see him from all over. And as he was making his way back to his hotel room, a man came to meet him and he said, Pele, I brought something for you. And he said, what was that? He said, I brought this stone for you. And he said, what's the story behind the stone? He said, I would have loved you to come to my house, but because you won't be able to make it to my house, I have decided to bring my house, because that stone was actually supposed to be in his house. I have decided to bring my house to you so that you can actually touch my house. It was that loved by people. As we speak, when he coughs, FIFA shivers. FIFA is the federation of the world that look after soccer. Why are you guys looking at me as if you don't know anything about soccer? That's my game. I love it. People of God, I love it. Now, so you don't want to give me a call on Saturday evening when Asna is playing or something. I'm glued to the TV. I'm praying for you. Praise God. Anyway. So what happens is this man was a very successful man in the world of soccer. Now, but when he was writing in his book, he said people don't know about his father. He said not many people know about his father. His father's name was Dodinho. He said not many people know about him. But this man was as talented. In fact, according to him, much more talented than even Pelé himself. He said this man had a lot of talent. And he had always hoped in his name, in his word. I had always hoped, that's what he said in his book, I had always hoped that he would have a chance to prove himself. Did he ever get a chance? Of course, his father got a chance. In 1942, his father was invited to come and play for a club side, a big club side in the capital city, Atletico Mineiro. And he got there, but that opportunity was missed by this man. As a matter of fact, he even left that camp of this club injured and with a knee injury to nurse for life. He never made it. And so that when his own opportunity came in 1957, talking about Pelé now, he said, I grabbed it with my hands. I grabbed it with both hands because I knew that if I lost that chance, I was done for life. Now, why did I go into the story? Not many people know about his father, but according to him, he was as talented as even himself, perhaps even more. But he lost the chance to prove himself. He lost the chance to take advantage of the opportunity that was presented to him at the time it was presented to him. So we talk about Pelé now, not because he was the most talented footballer. We talk about him because he took advantage of his opportunities when it came. When many of us look at the word opportunity, what comes to our mind is just, well, it's one of those things that just come randomly and just go. Some of us even think that it's not fair that we're not having as much as we think we should have. And that's okay. Now, but what I want you to know about this word opportunity is that is what actually places you with the great. It's what gives you advantage to move to the next level. It's not how strong, how intelligent. Have you ever noticed that the people that are actually making waves around the world are not necessarily the best in their areas of endeavor? They just take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to them. I've always looked like amongst the people in my class, and sometimes I wonder, it's not the most intelligent person that actually makes it into a flourishing business as a medical professional. Some people just take advantage of the opportunities when they have it, much more than others. I was reading the other time in the book of Judges, something happened. There was supposed to be a war. Israel was under the rule of a land called Canaan. Canaan was being ruled by a king called Jabin. Jabin had a commander-in-chief called Sisera. Now, Sisera was supposed to be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces for Canaan, of course, under the rule of King Jabin. And there was supposed to be a war because Deborah was the one that was judging Israel at that time. So Deborah asked Balak to go and lead the people of Israel to go to war against Canaan because Canaan was oppressing them. So, and of course, the natural thing was for a man to lead the war. And of course, Deborah had already chosen, as it were, Balak to do that. Now, Balak said something. He said, no, I'm not going to go to that war except if you follow me. Because Deborah was the prophetess at that time. She was the one, as it were, judging Israel because there was no king over Israel. But don't forget, they were under the oppression of Canaan. And Deborah made a statement. He said, well, I'm going to go with you, but just know that the victory of today, of the war, is not going to be ever yours. It's going to be given to a woman. To a woman. Now, the war, of course, started, and Balak eventually led the people of Israel to war, of course, supported by this woman called Deborah. And they started winning the battle. The Bible says the Lord routed the camp of the enemy, destroyed them. And Sisera, who was supposed to be the army chief, began to run away from the scene of the battle. Now, as he was running away, Judges chapter 4 is what I'm talking about. If you get home, you can check it out. As he was running away, he came into the tent of a woman called Jael. Jael was just what you would call an housewife, you know, a full-time mom at home. She had no training as whatsoever about battle. She had no clue about how to shoot the gun or shoot the arrow or whatever. She was just an housewife, a fantastic cook, you may call her, and she was just there by herself, far away from where the war was taking place. And Sisera came into her, and Sisera requested that she should just keep him in the room, so that the army of Israel that were pursuing him would not be able to kill him. But Jael did something. As he requested for water, Jael gave him milk. And as soon as Sisera took milk, he just slept off. And of course, the rest of the story was that Jael took the peg and killed Sisera. And what I found most interesting about this thing was that when the people began to recount the events of the war and the person that gave victory to Israel, much mention was not made about Balak, who fought the war, who did all the running, who did all the strategizing. Much praise was given to the woman who was just in her house doing her housework. Had nothing to do with the war. Why? She took advantage of an opportunity that was presented to her. She had no clue about how to fight war. But at the end of the day, the decider of the victory was given to somebody who knew how to take advantage of opportunity. People of God, we are in a world where if you don't know how to recognize and take opportunity, you will just be amongst the crowd. Unfortunately, that's the way our world works. So, people of God, today we're going to be sharing with you 4 or 5 things, depending on how much time we've got, that you need to know. You just need to know this. Because You need to know this to be able to sharpen your understanding of what opportunities are. So that when it presents itself, you grab it with both hands. Bookie, you can come over. Thanks.
Praise the Lord. So we are looking at five truths. Or like he said, we'll see how many we can cover today. Truths about opportunities. The first one is, opportunities may look small, yet they produce unbelievable results. Opportunities may look small, yet they produce unbelievable results. I want us to look at that Ephesians 5 again, and specifically verse 16. That verse 16 says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And the emphasis, what I want to emphasize in that verse is every. The Bible says every. And if we look at that word, every, it kind of all encompass, you know, whatever kind of opportunity that comes your way. And most of the time, or a lot of the time, you know, what God brings first into our lives are small opportunities. They look so small. They look so insignificant. They look so so minute that sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit, you know, to help us to discern it. And it takes the help and the grace of God to actually want to go ahead and make use of it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So every implies that some may appear not important, but I want to tell you this morning that there's nothing like a small opportunity. It may look so small, but inside it, inside that small opportunity lies a great potential that can promote you, that can elevate you if we make a good use of it. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage us this morning never to despise or take for granted any opportunity that comes our way, no matter how small, even if it's below our status or insignificant. Hallelujah. So I want to give us a very good example. There are several examples in the Bible where small opportunities presented himself. But a very classical one is the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, and a little bit of chapter 18 as well. David was a young boy. He was looking after his father's sheep. And just before chapter 16, where the story of David started, in chapter 15, there was a mention of Saul, of Samuel. Samuel was a prophet of God. And God told Samuel, there was a king ruling at the time named Saul. And Samuel told Saul, God told Samuel to go and tell Saul that it's taking the kingdom away from Saul. Apparently, Saul was given some instructions that he didn't do, and God took the kingdom from him, and God searched for another king. And he told Samuel to go into the house of Jesse to anoint someone as king. I know we know the story. They anointed David, the youngest of the family, was anointed king, right? Okay. And after that, maybe because Saul has been told that the kingdom has been taken from him and all that, you know, there's an evil spirit that started tormenting him. And a servant came to him and told him, and said, okay, my lord, there's this person that I know can play music very well. Peradventure, if he's playing music, you know, the evil spirit that is tormenting you might leave. Okay, and he said, where's the boy? And they sent to bring David. Okay, and don't forget, he's already been anointed king before. Okay, I think we should look at that. Let's look at 1 Samuel. Let's open to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want us to read, firstly, let's read from verse 11. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? So Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, all the other brothers have passed through. And the Lord kept saying, this is not the one, right? And verse 11 says, so he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. Samuel sent for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Okay? And if you go down, it says, so he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So my point is, David was already anointed king. Or he was just like waiting. It was like the next in line. He was just waiting, okay, for him to be crowned after the departure of Saul, okay? And this is when Saul sent messengers to him to say, okay, come and play music for me. Anyone will have just, you know, thought, I'm the next king in line. Why should I go and play, you know, any instrument for anybody, you know? But I tell you, David grabbed that small, seemingly small opportunity, okay? And the unbelievable result that small opportunity produces is this. Let's look at verse 21 of the same chapter 16. It says, David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Allow David to remain in my service, for I'm pleased with him. Okay? So Saul made David his armor bearer. What is an armor bearer? Okay, it's an officer selected by kings and generals because of his bravery, not only to bear their hammer, but also to stand by them in danger. Okay, so how can he just take someone playing music and make him to be an armor bearer, to be someone who's going to be with him, who's going to look after him in danger, you know? Don't you think that's a promotion? That's a big promotion. That's an unbelievable result. It's an unbelievable result. Another thing I want us to look at this morning, okay? It says David was tending the sheep in chapter 16 of verse 11 of chapter 16. So when they called him to be anointed, he was tending the sheep. He was tending the sheep, and the Bible says one of his brothers told him that, oh, why did you leave those few sheep? That was when he went to give them food. I know it's a very familiar verses of the scriptures. So he was looking after a few sheep. That's another small opportunity that David made use of. He didn't consider the smallest or the number of those sheep. He looked after them. Let me buttress my point here again, okay? I just want to show you, you know, from the scriptures, how David looked after the sheep. Let's open to chapter 17 and look at verse 15. So David was already playing music, was already playing the harp for Saul. But verse 15 says, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Okay? So Saul was in Gibeah. Okay, Saul lives in Gibeah, and he was looking after the sheep in Bethlehem, you know. And I kind of look at the distance between those two locations, okay. And it was recorded that it's about 7.5 miles, which is about 12 kilometers. So he did not neglect those few sheep because he has been made an armor bearer, okay. So that's another small opportunity that David made use of. He did not leave those sheep. He went back and forth, traveling 12 kilometers to look after those sheep. He did not despise that opportunity. And peradventure, the Bible says in Psalm 78, I think verse 70, that he chose David his servant and took him from his shepherds. I think one of the unbelievable results that action produced is even God making him king in the first place. He saw his heart for those sheep. Okay? And then another small opportunity presented himself again. There was war. Okay, and his three brothers have gone to war, and his father just called him and said, remember, he was anointed in the front of his family. They all know he's going to be king. But his father called him and said, okay, you come and take the food to your brothers, you know, where in the war front where they're fighting. You know, Goliath was there and chanting and ranting and, you know, talking against the army of God. And gladly, David took the food to his brothers. Okay, that's another small opportunity. And, you know, to buttress my former point, you know, he left, like if we look at verse 20 of chapter 17, it says, early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd. So he did not leave the sheep, you know, alone. He had to look for another shepherd to look after those sheep. Okay? And the Bible says he woke up early in the morning to take that. That's how excited he was about that small assignment. Okay? So he left early in the morning. He took the food to them. And the unbelievable result from that small opportunity that he made use of was him having an encounter with Goliath and ending up defeating Goliath. And God gave him honor, you know, in front of the people. He's been anointed king, yes, but nobody knew him. You know, and a king cannot just rock up and say, okay, I'm the king. You know, he kind of have to earn the respect and the honor of the people. But he doesn't even have to go through that, you know. God just placed the love of the people in his heart. How do I know that? In chapter 18, from verse 5, the Bible says, whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistines, the women came out from all towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs, with timbrels. And they danced, they sang. You know, you would think that they are dancing and happy for Saul, but no. They say, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Okay? So God put the honor of the people in our hearts. So people of God this morning, I just want to encourage us. There are no small opportunities. Whatever opportunity God is going to bring our way in 2015, I want us to grasp it. I want us, you know, not to take it for granted, but to make the most of it. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's nothing like small opportunity. What you have is a seed of opportunity. So like a small seed, I just want you to think about a small seed, you know, and think of when it's planted, the kind of fruit it brings forth, you know, the kind of harvest can be, you know, that is reaped from just a tiny seed. So the Bible says in Genesis 8:20, it says, as long as they had remained, seed time and harvest shall not cease. So let's see every small opportunity that comes our way as a seed. And, you know, when we see it as a seed, then we can put in our all into it, and then God can bring the harvest, and God can promote us through those efforts. So there's an American author who says something that I like. He says, sometimes when I consider what tremendous consequences come from little things, I'm tempted to think that there are no little things anywhere. Sometimes when I consider what tremendous consequences come from little things, I'm tempted to think that there are no little things anywhere. So there are tremendous consequences from little things. Tremendous results from little things. So let's grab every small opportunity that comes our way in 2015. I want to tell you of a story of a young Ghanaian slave. His name is Tete Kwashi. This young Ghanaian slave was very poor, and he went in 1870. He went to another country. He went to other land in search of, you know, greener pastures, in search of wealth. And I think, you know, that's what people do. People look for areas where they can find opportunity. Okay, and he went, but he returned a few years after. I think about, you know, 8 years after he returned home, even poorer than he left. And people were like kind of looking at him. Why did you go in the first place? Even the people that you left behind, you know, they are doing well. They've built houses, you know, especially for those of us that came from Africa. Sometimes, you know, people go to foreign land and they come back and you're like, where did you go? You know, because sometimes the idea that, you know, a lot of illiterates and, you know, people who are not learned, you know, in some developing countries is, you know, when you go to foreign land, you don't even need to do anything. You just start picking money on the streets, you know, that kind of. And they go, they sell everything and they go to these lands. And by the time they realize that, oh, I have to go back home. Yeah, they do like the prodigal son, you know, and say, even the pigs in my father's house eat better than this, and they go back, okay? So that was what happened to Tete Kwashi. He went back, and, you know, people made fun of him, and, you know. But one thing he came back with from the foreign land he went to, he came back with a seed. And 33 years after, 1911, Ghana, his own country, had become the world-leading producer of cocoa. The seed he brought from that land was a seed of cocoa. He planted that seed and he became very rich. Even today, he's still called the father of cocoa in Ghana. Okay? So that poor young slave went, bring back a seed, made use of that small opportunity, and he became great. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage us this morning, okay, to grasp any seemingly small opportunity that comes our way. I don't know whether I have some time to, okay, all right. So Matthew 25 is another beautiful story. I'm not going to read that. You can check that later, verses 14. Verses 1 to 13, rather. A man was going on a journey. It's a parable told by Jesus. And he gave five bags, I used the NIV to prepare, and he gave five bags of goats he had three servants, two bags of goats and one to the third one. Okay, and the Bible says the first one traded with the five and had five more. The second one traded with the two and had two more, okay? But that one, that last servant, what did he do with this? He despised that one bag of gold, you know, and went to hide it. When the master came back, he called the servants and, you know, he started asking for them, you know, what did you do with what I gave you? And they started telling him what they did. And what was the unbelievable result that happened through that? He put them in charge, he put them in charge of many things. He said, come, good and faithful servant, come into your master's happiness. I'm sure they are not servants anymore. He elevated them. He promoted them. So people of God this morning, I just want to encourage us never to despise any small opportunity in every area, wherever it might come from. And God is going to uplift and promote us in Jesus' name. I want us to quickly look at the second truth about opportunity briefly. It says, every used opportunity produces another. Every used opportunity produces another. Our key verse this morning is Luke chapter 16, verse 11. If we have our Bibles, I want us to open there. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. It says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? So Jesus told another parable here of a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. And, you know, that manager was shrewd and he wrote off some of the things owing his master. And Jesus kind of commended, although what he did wasn't right, he commended the fact that, you know, he was shrewd. Okay? So, but what I want to point out is, it says, if you have not been faithful in those seemingly little things you've been committed to do, those seemingly little opportunities or whatever kind of opportunity that comes your way, if you are not being faithful in it, you know, who is going to trust you to riches? Who is going to give you more opportunity, if you want to paraphrase? Hallelujah. So opportunity work under the principle of what I call chain reactions. What I mean by that is, once you use one, it kind of produces another, and it produces another, and it produces another. Hallelujah. So users of opportunity never go dry. Only wasters do. So like that third servant that I mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, okay, he wasted his opportunity. And he not only wasted that particular opportunity, he wasted other chances, you know, of doing great things under the master. Dr. Chester Swore is a lecturer and Christian author. He says, an opportunity grasped and used produces at least one other opportunity. So if you don't remember anything today, I want you to remember that opportunity grasped and used produces at least one other opportunity. Praise the Lord. And the story of Joseph is a very good one to use in this instance, in Genesis chapter 40 and 41. Joseph had an opportunity to interpret dreams of his fellow inmates. We all know the story of Joseph. He was in prison. He was thrown in prison eventually, and his fellow prison mates, Pharaoh's cupbearer, chief cupbearer, and the chief baker were thrown in prison as well. And he interpreted those dreams. It looks like a small opportunity. I'm sure at that time he didn't even look at it as opportunity. But because He had kind of prepared his mind, you know, that whatever comes my way, I'm going to give in my best. Okay, I think that was the key thing, you know, that brought Joseph out of that dungeon. Okay, so he interpreted that opportunity, you know, was called, you know, and from that he was called to interpret Pharaoh's dream of national significance. So, but the Bible says when the dream came to pass, okay, the cupbearer was lifted up and he was given back his position. The chief baker was killed. So it was exactly as it is, but the cupbearer forgot about him. But I tell you, people of God, once an opportunity is made use of, God never forgets. The Bible says, after 2 full years, I think we should open to that. Genesis 41:40. It says, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king offended their master. Okay, and we know the story. It goes all the way down. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph. It's the last verse. It says, yes. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And 41 verse 1 says, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. So God never forgets our moments of, you know, used opportunities. Okay, so God, I think God caused that cupbearer to remember, and they brought Joseph out, and you know, I believe that opportunity resulted in that first opportunity that he used. So remember, we are talking about an opportunity used, you know, produces another. Oh. That was what produced that opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And what happened to him in verse 41? It says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. And 44, I'm Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt. Unbelievable. From a prisoner to, like, you know, the second in command. It's not even the second in command. You know, it'd be like, to me, Pharaoh was just like, you know, he was the one doing all the commanding, doing all the, you know, giving all the commands to the people. Hallelujah. So I just mentioned that. And also the story of Ruth is another beautiful one. He followed his mother-in-law, and the opportunity that produced another for him was she requested to glean grain from a field. Okay. He made use of that opportunity very well. He worked really hard. When the others are gone, she was still there. She was still there. Remember, she wasn't even from Israel, okay? But she was there working. And that is where Boaz noticed her and became the wife of Boaz and became the great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ. Praise Hallelujah. So, people of God, every used opportunity produces another. Hallelujah. So this year, 2015, I want us to determine, you know, God is going to bring great opportunities our way. You know, they might present small, but let us take hold of it. Opportunities, you know, to train up our children where there's still that window of opportunity. Opportunity in our places of work. Opportunity to invest. You know, opportunity in our career. Opportunity to learn something. Opportunity to help other people. Opportunity in our relationship, in our health. I want us to grasp it because, number one, no opportunity is small. Number two, it's going to produce another one. Praise the Lord.
Obviously, there's no way we can cover the whole thing today, and I'll just talk about one more. We've learned two things. Number one, that opportunities may look small, yet they produce unbelievable results. Unbelievable results. And the second one was every used opportunity produces another. Not every opportunity produces another. Every used opportunity produces another. And like she said, wasters of opportunity only are the ones that grow dry. If you're a user of opportunity, you never grow dry. It works like a chain reaction. Once one comes, you use it, many more come. It does not just more often than not, it doesn't just produce just one other opportunity. It produces more opportunity. And like you said, they usually produce very small, you know. Many of the times when people come in contact with opportunity, they don't even recognize it. It's too small compared to what they are actually. They are expecting for something great, something big, something massive, something You understand? And then when these things come, it's like, no, this is not one of them. Your house to clear the table, to put the chairs together. I mean, that's not what you are thinking about. You are thinking about coming here to talk, to preach. That's what you're looking for. But God is saying, no. If you don't use that, then you're not going to be promoted. That's the way it works. Even in our secular employment, that's the way it works. Things come across us that we don't think that it's good for us. Never despise. There's one thing I've always known, and I've come to learn this over the years. I never despise an opportunity. Never say you're too big for something. If you're going to reject an opportunity that is presented to you, think about it before you say no. Don't let no be so spontaneous in your mouth that you just say no to things because they are too small for you. They are too small for your standard. Never. If you're going to say no, make sure you have already thought about it clearly and be sure that it's actually not for you. Don't let no be the natural thing that comes out of your mouth. You know, you've not met people like that before. Before you complete your statement, they said no. So no is a ready answer, just waiting for your question. You understand? So, because it's just the natural way. If it comes to when it comes to opportunities in life, never say no until you have thought it through. The last one I'm going to be talking about this morning, and I'm going to just read a passage in the scripture, is that opportunities have visiting hours and time limits. Opportunities have visiting hours and time limits. And I'm going to read a passage in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon chapter 5 presents us with an instance where a particular lady is in kind of a relationship with a man. And this man, according to the picture presented here, has come to meet with this lady, but it has come in a particular hour that was not considered very suitable. Don't forget I said opportunity have visiting hours and time limits. Now, one thing we need to know about the time and the visiting time of opportunities is those times that opportunities come our way, they are never very convenient moments. They come at hard times, hard hours, times that it's not very comfortable. It's not very convenient at all. If you like, you would like to reschedule their appointments. But the problem with opportunities is they are not that patient. They are not going to stay there for life. Opportunities are not always present. They are not always residing and waiting for you to come to them. They visit, and if you don't act, they go. God is the only one that is always present. Opportunities never do that. That's not their character. They wait for you. When their waiting period is over, they move. Now, in Songs of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 2, look at the story of this young woman. He said, I sleep, but my heart is awake. Song of Solomon is difficult to find, is it? Yeah. Song of Solomon chapter 5, I'll read from verse 2. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. Praise God. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. Verse 3, but this was the response of this lady. This lady says, but I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? In other words, my guy, I'm already in bed. I can't, I would have to dress up again and come and open the door for you. No, I've washed my feet. How can I defile them? In other words, I can't go through that rigor, through that trouble to get you to come in. Verse 4, my beloved put his hands by the latch of the door. And my heart yearned for him. In other words, when I heard him put his hand on the latch of the door, I said, oh my God, anyway, let me just go. Now, but when the opportunity put his hand on the latch of the door, it's not because he's asking you to open the door, it's because he's on his way home. When you hear the click of on the door, as if somebody is trying to open the door forcefully, is because opportunity is ready to go. Because we see in verse 5, I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my finger with liquid myrrh on the handle of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. In other words, when opportunities present itself, they come at hard times, at hard hours, but they have a time limit. They are not always going to be there. Have you ever noticed that some of the opportunities that were there for you about few years ago, even few months ago, they are no longer there now? If you are not taking advantage of them now, they are not going to be always resident here. They don't build a tent around you. They come, they show their face. If you recognize and take advantage of them, it produces more. If you don't, they are on their way to the next door. That's the way it works in life. So people of God, you need to be very vigilant. The idea is to be vigilant. Be vigilant. In fact, the Bible starts that in that passage. It said, be circumspect. Circumspect. That's the word. Vigilant. Carefully consider. Look at it. Shine your eyes. Like some people will say, shine it. Look at it. Examine it. Because it's not always going to be there. It will come at times when you are not even prepared for it. And go when you don't respond to it. It would have been nice if we can schedule appointment for opportunities, okay? And say, you come at this hour because I will be home to come. Or we schedule a place for opportunities and say, meet me at McDonald's or whatever. Because it can present anywhere, in the car, in the bus, at the filling station, in the office, at the garage, wherever, at the shopping mall, in church. You know, many of us would like opportunities to meet us in church because we think church is a cool place to be lifted by God. But opportunities may never, your opportunity for lifting may never be here. So you can do as much looking, but it's not there. It may just be there at the parking lot as you are going on your way home. You know, that somebody will approach you and make a request. And you think, well, this is not part of the game. I mean, this is not even looking like it. So I want you to begin to look at those moments when people will come around you, when you will come in contact with things, and be asking yourself this very important question. Is this another opportunity? Is this another opportunity? Just let it just keep ringing in your heart. Even if you're going to say no, ask yourself, is this another opportunity? Is this another opportunity? Let it just keep, as we go in the year 2015, keep asking that question. Now, why did we package this together? And like I said, I'm going to complete this by God's grace next week. Why did it pack this together? 10 years ago, let me finish that passage first. Now, I hope verse 6, I opened for my beloved, but my beloved was turned, had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped out when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Verse 7, the watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. I charge you, all daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am lovesick. Come on. Why didn't you wake up when he knocked? The Bible says the watchman found her and she was battered. This was supposed to be a candidate for honor. She was supposed to receive the opportunity at the comfort of her bedroom. But she never did. Now, let's begin to look at things as they come around our way, the situation, circumstances around her, and begin to ask the question, is this another opportunity for my lifting? Is this another opportunity that God is bringing my way? And like Bookie shared, they may look small. Grab them with both hands. I will conclude this by God's grace next week. But let me say why we're starting with this year. Now, over the past 4 weeks, we have been talking about the fact that God is going to bring us above our limitations. And this is the avenue, the way that God is going to be doing that. He's going to be bringing opportunities our way. It's settled that opportunities will come to us. The question is, are we going to recognize and make use of it when it comes? It's not like will opportunities come. They are bound by covenants to come our way because that's the instrument that God uses to lift us people. 10 years ago, the Lord dropped this message into my heart, and after ruminating on it for about 2 or 3 years, I decided to put it in a book form. So I published a book at that time. Now, looking back 10 years now, I've discovered that everything that God has penned down through my writing into those books, I've actually lived them, literally. It has waken up my understanding to know the potential that God has packaged in the opportunities, and I'm beginning to understand why God brings certain things in certain ways to certain people at certain times, because he wants to lift them up. He wants to get them to the next level. So I'm challenging you to begin to work on your mind, work on your high, your spiritual high, to become like that of an eagle, so that you can be able to see it and recognize it when it comes. Some people that are not trained, some untrained mind may not see it, but because that's the way you walk, you're walking by the Spirit, you're able to pick it up far off before it comes near you. So that's the challenge for this year. Look out. Shine your eyes. Look for it. Embrace it. Ask questions. Is this an opportunity for God, for me, to be lifted this year? And if it is, take advantage of it, because that's your lifting to the next level. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for another beautiful time in your presence. Thank you for this thought that we have shared together. Lord, I just pray for myself, oh God, and your people, as we begin to explore the year and as you begin to bring opportunities across our way in various form and in various ways, that, Lord, our mind will become sharp. Our understanding will become enlightened to be able to recognize them and take advantage of it. I pray, oh Lord, that no one amongst us and in this place will no longer waste opportunities in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that the years pass, the years of wasted opportunities have passed, and it is now time, oh God, for us to begin to take advantage of the opportunities you bring our way. Help us to be circumspect, Lord, and to receive them when they come our path. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.